Okay, guys, we hug each other, not because it's huggy day, but because we're family, we're friends, no? So it's nice always to, I like you to hug my wife, but it's also nice to just give a hug to some of your friends, your brothers and sisters in church, especially those who travel a lot and aren't here very often, not looking at someone, but they know who they are. It's nice to have you back, Dr. Pang and I, after all the traveling. Okay, guys, who of you will be taking a long weekend next week? Okay, so I will be here. I thought if most of you go, maybe I can go as well. But it's only a few of you guys taking a long weekend. For those of you traveling, drive safely, rest, enjoy it, come back safely. I'll be in Windhoek, so you can come and visit us as well. We will be here. Okay. Then just a quick announcement or two. There won't be any youth this afternoon. Now we can actually see who's everyone in the church that's older than 18 years. Most of you guys sitting here are older than that. Youth on, they've got holiday now. And then I just want to encourage you guys. We've got a visiting pastor coming again, as it was on the announcements, Pastor Rolf and his wife Sonia. They will be here on that weekend, the 11th and the 12th of September. And they will also, the Saturday, they will come, and I've emailed as many as possible people of my friends, of you guys. There will be a, we can call it, Let's Grow Kids God's Way, where we're talking about raising kids, love, discipline, most of those things. We're going to divide a bit into men or husbands and the ladies or females, wives, mothers. And then we're going to just talk about a few things. So I really want to encourage you guys. It's not just for those people of you who already have got kids. Anyone is welcome. I'm going to make it open for anyone. We want to talk together. We want to have a bit of fellowship together. I said there will be something light to eat that morning. We will also make an effort for the moms, especially that want to attend. We're going to organize a Maggie or two that will look after, babysit some of the kids. So there will be entertainment, so you guys can come as well. So if you're young, married, or if you're going to marry, or if you want to just come, maybe you're just single and you're still trusting for your husband or wife, you are also very welcome to come and partake and to listen. And maybe it's something you are, you know, you want to grow in. And when the time comes, when those kids are there, then you know exactly what to do, because it is a challenge. Amen? Who's having kids? Kids are a blessing, but they do challenge you from time to time, and it's nice if we can talk a bit together and share a bit on that. Now I want to ask, you know, the past 2 weeks we were talking about Christ and His church, we're talking about the husband as the leader and the provider, and the ladies who submits, and we said it, talked a bit on what it is and what it isn't. So how does things go? Husbands, does the wife submit? Ladies, does the men lead? Do they provide? Do they give you pocket money? Are you growing in these things? I trust that you will. I'm not going to hand out forms or anything asking, but I trust that God is working in all of our marriages and our hearts and really showing us how this relationship works. Okay, guys, this morning, the title of my sermon will be Arms, Hand, and Feet. We're going to talk a bit about the body of Christ, something exciting. Who of you think that are part of the body of Christ? Who of you know that you're part of the body of Christ? Great. Okay, that's a good thing. We're going to talk about it. God has clearly showed us in intercession on Tuesday morning. He just came and showed us that we should really pray for our body. You know, here in Windhoek, in Shofar, we can pray for the bigger church body as well. But this morning, I'm going to specifically speak in the context of our body here as we are. You know, we've got hands and feet and legs and eyesight, and we can hear, and none of you look the same. You know, some are older, some are younger, some are taller and some are smaller. You know, none of us look the same and none of us work the same. You know, together we form the body, we're a partnership, just as we talked about the husbands and the wives. You know, the husband has got a unique calling and so do the wife, but together they make a team. You know, it's not just the dads who's raising the kids, it's not just the moms who does it. We work together, we work in a partnership. And also as a church, as the body of Christ, you know, we also work together, because we can't go, we've got, as in our church, you know, we've got church on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoons, we've got youth, there's intercession, kiddies church, Bible school, small groups, which I'm going to talk a bit about later on. There's many things that we do. It's a worship team. Kiddies Church, all those things together. We are the body of Christ, all of us. Okay, so before I get too excited, because I am excited to stand here this morning and just to share with you, let's pray. Father God, we want to worship you this morning, Father God, and we want to bring our praise to you, Father God, and thank you, Lord God, that we can sit here this morning as old and young, Father God, as husbands, as wives, as young people, Father God, as more mature people, Father God. Thank you that we can be your body, Father God, and thank you, Lord, that you value each of us, that you love each of us, Father God, that you died for all of us on the cross, Father God, and that we can be a family, Father God, and that we can grow in our relationships with you, Father God, and with one another, Father God. And we just ask, Father, that we will lay down all distractions right now, Lord God, and that your Holy Spirit will minister to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I want to read to you first from Ephesians 1, verse 22 to 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. And then in verse 23, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know, and as we sang this morning, God reigns. You know, he's reign. We gave our worship to God, and it's wonderful to know that us as the church, you know, the head of our church is Jesus Christ, and he reigns. He rules and reigns. He's the ruler of the cosmos, king of the universe, and you know, we submit. You know, it's very nice. I remember when I was a small boy, you always think, and I'm supposed the girls thought the same, that your dad's the biggest and the strongest and everything. You know, and I always felt safe when dad was near, when I was a small boy. You know, nowadays I'm slightly bigger than my dad, so maybe it changed around, I'm not sure. I'll ask him one day, then he feels safe when I'm around. I don't know. But bottom line is, you know, we know that Christ is the head, and we know Jesus Christ from Scripture and from our personal salvation and our experience with him, and we know he's the head of the church, and that's exciting. So, yeah, we're also dealing with family lately. You know, we're talking God has laid in our hearts, not in just in our church here in Windhoek, but in all the churches in Shofar. We talk a lot about family, and we feel that God is really calling us to be closer family, you know. You know, being family, I always try to make an effort to connect with my family, just asking them how they are, visiting them. And we should do the same. When you see one of your family members, as in the context of a church, you know, someone's getting a new job or getting married, then we bless those people. We are happy for them. And when we see someone is battling a bit, maybe things are a bit tight or tough or something's not right, then we go to that person and we ask, how can we help? We send the SMS, we go and visit, we help in whatever way we can, because that's the way I believe God wants us to relate to each other and form a family, as in the natural. Now, I remember 2008, November, the first time I was in this church, I didn't preach. There was a guy from the missions team, Amu. I remember his sermon, and he preached on I think the title was something like, the greatest team game ever. And he talked about church. And then he made the comparison between, you know, a sport game. Take, for instance, soccer or rugby or cricket or what game you are familiar with. Then you'll know in that there's different people have got different positions. You know, that's what I like. I don't know soccer that well. All those guys look thin and fast to me. But when you look at, for instance, a rugby team, then you'll say there's tall guys and there's a bit more bulky guys and there's fast guys. And I believe God made rugby because there's a place for everyone, you know. And that's similar for us as a church. You know, whether you can sing or maybe, you know, you're a teacher, you like to be at Bible school or you're a good small group facilitator, there's a place for every one of us. You know, not that we're going to have to go and look for that place, because God in his wisdom, he already predestined what he wants each of us to do. So when you're a young believer and you come into the church, then I believe then you should discover, you know, and see where God wants to use you to your full potential. Okay? Because I know for a fact my full potential is not on the stage. You know, there we let people like Danielle and Warrie and Oscar and Harry, okay, Harry, the guys that can sing, you know, we trust them to do the job there, because that's where they are gifted. That's where they are anointed. There's people outside looking at the kiddies, you know, or the wikkelwurms as we call them. Not all of us are inclined or gifted or graced to look after all of them. You see, but it's a wonderful thing how we work together and how we, it is to get the job done. So God called us as a church for many things, okay? But one thing I just want to highlight this morning, and you all know it so well, is the Great Commission. You know, God said to us, we must go into all the ends of the earth, make disciples, preach the word of God, teach the people what Jesus Christ taught us, and that's through the Spirit-empowered work of His church, okay? So God created church and the body of Christ to do that work, okay? And it works in many different ways, you know. All churches doesn't function the way ours does. Many churches are say, for instance, let's not go too much into that, but many churches, they do different things than us. Not right or wrong, but I mean some churches worship more, some worship less, some are more focused on missions, some are a bit less focused on missions, some are very into evangelism, etc. You know, but together, all the churches, we also form the body of Christ. And from that, we also as a church in Shofar Windhoek, that's our mission statement. That's what we stand for. We say to each other, we want to go to the nations and to the generations, old and young, from north to south, east and west, and we want to see that people, you know, we want to take the gospel, the full gospel, we want to take to them. We want to make disciples, we want to develop leaders, and then we want to plant churches everywhere. That's our heart, and that's what we believe that God has given for us as a mandate. Now I want us just to for a bit of background, to look at the early church, the church in Acts, then just when church actually started. And I want to read to you from Acts 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing their proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who being saved. Now that's a wonderful picture of almost like a golden era in church. You know, the church grew a lot. It says they had favor with all men. We can see they went to the temple together. Maybe that can be a comparison to church as we have it this morning. In the houses, they break bread and they had communion together. And that we can say represent our small groups that we have on Wednesdays. But later on, I'm going to summon all the self-facilitators to come and stand in the front that every one of you can see who they are. I'm going to say a bit later on that. But this is almost a picture about church and how beautifully it worked together, how they related to each other, the work they did. And we can say a lot about that this morning, but I also want to go a bit on to the specific part I believe that God has laid on our hearts Tuesday morning and that we need to talk about with each other this morning. I also want to read to you from Romans 12, verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Okay? So we are family together. Amen? You are family. Are you sure you all are family together? Okay. Those of you who battle a bit with that thought, maybe Francois intimidates you a bit, but he's a nice guy, I promise you. Roderick here in the front, he's also a very nice guy. You can believe they are family. They also love you. So that's why I let you guys hug each other. Okay. And you know, this morning, then I was praying through the week for the sermon and asking God to, you know, just show me what I need to say. And this morning, early morning, just as the, you know, before the sun came up, or even a little bit earlier when it was just light, I was standing in my garden and I was just praying and speaking to God. And then I was standing there and I was looking at my garden. And sometimes we look at things, but we don't see. You know, and then I was looking at every tree. And then again, I just noticed that none of the trees in my garden, even though some of them are the same type of tree, look similar. You know, some are tall and some are smaller, some have got branches looking like this and some are looking like that. And then I just know, remember, it came to my heart that, you know, in my garden, not everything looks different. You know, when we go to Itosha or a place like that, you get the big elephants and the small meerkatter. You know, you get zebras and things that eat grass and some other things that eat leaves and some things that eat whatever. But none of the animals are the same. You know, you can look at the animal kingdom, the ants, everything. None of are the same, but together they form the animal kingdom. And so are we as the body of Christ. I'm just trying to talk a bit about that this morning. And as in a team game, as in a sport game, you know, we complement each other. You know, we work together, we do something together. Just as I said, the husband and the wife. It's not just the dad, because he provides, he's the most important. No, the husband and the wife, they form a team and they yoke together. And as in any team game, you know, if one of the partners doesn't work or bring his part, you know, then the team is going to suffer. And that, I believe, is the same for us as a church. Okay. So I'm just going to, okay, next scripture, I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 to 20. So it's a long part, but please listen well. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for the reason any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for the reason any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. That's an important part to remember, as He desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. Now if you listen to this quickly, it just sounds, if I say members, body, members, body, members, body. So you actually must go home after church and read it once or twice, a few times in the translation you prefer, Afrikaans or whatever you read. And just that can, God can open it up to you, because I truly believe it's important for us to understand this and to embrace it a lot. So what does it say? We've got all a different job description. None of us, some of us are called to do the same thing, yes, because there's not one person in the worship team, there's many, there's more than one people helping at Kiddies Church or at Bible school, but not, we can't say if there's 100 people in church this morning, 95 of them are doing the same thing, okay? So God said to all of us, all of the Great Commission, or the Great Commandment, both of them, that's for all of us. Scripture, all Scripture is for everyone. Okay, but when it comes to this team game, to our body, okay, then we've got certain jobs. Tell that to someone while I take a bit of arrows. Okay, so that's important to understand. But also the flip side of the coin is, you know, if the hand would be missing, or the let's say the forearm is missing. Now, how will the hand work then? Okay, so you can see there's two parts of this scenario. So the first thing I want to just like, let's see, Paul is writing here and he's making a bit of a diagnosis. And let's see what he says. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less the part of the body? Or if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? So we can ask ourselves, so where is the problem in this reasoning? Where is the problem in this thinking? So in one case, the problem with the person with the food gifts and the food graces. And if that person will compare himself to the hand gifts and the hand graces and say, I'm not like that, so I'm not any good of the body, then you're making a mistake. You know, because sometimes we will think to ourselves, and that's a type of a human thing. Maybe you are young and you think that, I want to be a doctor one day, or a lawyer, or a teacher, or whatever. Nah? And then you don't grow to that place of becoming that. I also always thought, I'm going to be a farmer one day. Now, I'm a bit of a shepherd, but not the type of farming I thought about. You know, but I'm not displeased with that, because I know what God called me for. Okay? But it's an important thing. if you think this morning you should be like the worship team and you want to be like that, but for some reason when you sing it, it just doesn't work. Maybe you're like me, okay? Don't feel bad, and that doesn't disqualify you of being part of the body. You are also part of the body. God has just blessed you with a different type of a gift, okay? That's important because many times in our reasoning, maybe you think you want to be the pastor, or maybe you want to be done hell in the office that, you know, or maybe this part or that part, okay? But, and then it doesn't work, and then you think, but now I'm not good enough for the body of Christ. That's a lie. I want to tell you that. Okay, I may as well not even be a part of the body. This comparison makes him feel useless or not needed, like he doesn't belong. Now, there's the second thing I want to know. Maybe you think you come to church and you see, but okay, there's the worship team. They're doing a good job. So maybe I don't have to bring my gift to church. That's also a wrong thinking. Maybe you think, okay, but there's the small group facilitators, which I'm going to let line up here. Or maybe you think the worship, for instance, the Bible school facilitators, Dr. Pangana and his team, they're doing a good job. Then you think, but it's okay, they are good, they are blessed, and they are good enough. So maybe I can just sit a bit back and, you know, just come to church and they are taking care of it. Guys, I want to warn you as well. That's not a godly thought, okay? God wants every one of you. Don't ever think the contribution you can make is not big enough. God called some to be pastors and evangelists and teachers and many things, okay? But the person standing at the door ushering, I'll always remember the one morning, I was still quite young, and I was looking up to our senior pastor in Stellenbosch, Pastor Fred, and the amazing way he's always teaching and preaching. And then he said something like, you know, he's not that important. He's just got a function in the church. And it makes him a bit look important, but he's just part of the body of Christ. Okay? And the way he said it, I thought like, wow, actually, in my eyes, he's the most important person in church. But remember, he's just part of the body of Christ like anyone else. Amen? Okay? So, if his team, let's say, put it that way, if he's the hand and his forearm, say the ushers, the worship team, all the other people preparing things for a Sunday, if they don't do their job, he can't as well. Okay? So no one is more important. Some people might look, when we look through our human glasses, they might look a bit more important. People like a worship leader or maybe the pastor or someone. But that's not true. Every part is important because the body can't function if every part is not doing his part. Now, you will all know that. Who of you have been sick before? I've been sick. Okay. And someone this morning also said she's got a little bit of a pain that I believe in Jesus' name will go away. But if you feel sick, maybe you've got your ankle is hurting or something and you want to run, then the body doesn't work well. Okay? And that is what I want to encourage you with. I'm going to say it at the end, but that each of you, each of us, to go back home, and I'm saying it very earnestly, or how should I put it, to go back and just ask God again, what do you want me to do as part of the body of Christ? You know, when I'm standing here on a Sunday morning, or I'm at the back, and I'm looking at all of you, for some reason, maybe it's because I've got this little thing about farming and counting sheep, I'm not counting you as numbers. But I always miss people. Then I see, okay, there's Abigail, but Pangana is not there. Okay, I know he's in the Netherlands, and it's okay. I'm looking forward to when he will be back. Okay? And when I'm standing here, I always notice this, because you've got like guys like Aaron. You'll always sit there, so I know where you are. Okay? If that place is empty, I know Aaron is not there. He's probably checking that we've got electricity in Otjiwarongo or somewhere around the world, or the country. Okay? So that is something I want you guys to, I want to encourage you, okay? It's not just a few people who are gifted or who's got a lot of time or maybe just feel like it or have got nothing better to do who yokes in church. I believe God is calling all of us, okay, to do our part. That's important. And I really want to urge you guys, now I'm not saying, don't get me wrong this morning, that you are loafing or for many reasons. We've got a guy like Nadir. Last year, he's been in South Africa more days of the year than here because of his work. Now, I'm not holding that against Nadir. I like him and I know his heart and he's a great man. So, if there's my wife, you know, the past previous two Sundays, she wasn't in church because the kids were sick. Okay, that's fine. That's not a problem. But all of us, I want to encourage us, because the better we family together, if I can put it that way, the better we're going to do our job as a church. That's exciting. Amen. Okay, let's go on. Then, yeah, that thing, as I said, that's a lie of the devil when you think that the church can go on without me. The church needs all of you. And that's what I was just saying about seeing all of you guys. I like it. Just when I, say for instance, go to a small group and the whole family in that small group is there. It just feels nice. You know, similar, if you as a family, you've got a reunion or a marriage or wedding or something like that, and everyone comes together. It's nice to see each other. Huh? It's nice to see your friends. And similarly in the church. Okay, so it's the devil that will always come and convince you, no, rather stay at home, or someone will do the job better than you. No, please come and join. Okay. And then two things. Many times, and it happens so many times in church for various reasons, that there's hurt or offense or something like that. There's a wonderful book that we have here, Bait of Satan. You know, he's always dishing it out like seeds, and he's trying to see if I and someone can have, there can be bad feelings between us, or maybe in your small group or in church, and you think, but someone said that your shoes look bad and now you don't want to come to church anymore or something like that. But please guard against that, because that is something the devil has designed to work against us as a body, as a church. Okay? For instance, if you'll hear it sometimes in sport teams, so the team have to work together. Say for instance the cricket team. Okay? But now someone, three or four guys, believe the vice captain should be captain, and the rest believe the captain should be captain, and now there's this feeling who's in charge. And when things like that come in, or someone said, but you can't bowl or you can't bat, okay, now you don't feel like really being part. And I want to encourage you guys, for various reasons, those type of things, the devil is walking around like the roaring lion, and he's trying to get people into to take that bait of Satan. And I want to encourage you guys to not take it. You know, rather bless that person, or phone him and speak to him about it, or in love and something, that we don't have that situation. Okay, because that's the counter of what I believe God called us as a church or a family to be. You're all with me yet. Okay. Then the second part, let me continue, but I'm with my notes here. Okay, let's see then the necessity of diversity. As I put in the example of a sport team, you need people with certain gifts, and similar into church. Now let's look. The second part of Paul's remedy for feelings of uselessness is to show that the very existence of the body of Christ depends on the diversity where we are resisting when we compare ourselves with one another and conclude that our differences makes us useless. That's a false way of thinking. Okay? So let's look now at this part from verse 14 and 19. But Paul shows in verses 14 and 19 to 20 that the body would not even exist if this attitude prevailed. In verse 14 is basically repeated in verses 19 and 20. Verse 14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. That's what it means to be a body. Okay? So he makes it very clear there that we are many members, and we are diverse. Okay? We should understand that. And that's also something exciting, you know, to see if you're maybe a small group facilitator or a zone coach, to see that person is gifted in this or that area, and to encourage it. I can see at a young age my boys are, that they will grow up to be totally different men, just the way God created their personalities, how they are physically built. You know, they will be just two different men. And that's wonderful. It's not a bad thing not to be the same. Okay? The first part of this is repeated in verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? The body is not one member, in other words. Okay? So, and that's why he's talking about if all should be eyes, where would the hearing be? You know, or if all should be feet, where would the arm be? You know, okay, so you're following what I'm saying this morning. It's something I believe that the devil is very distorted in many ways. And we should make it our own and be excited about to see how the body of Christ is working. So the point of verses 14 to 19 and 20 is that the very existence of the body depends on having diversity of members. Okay? So you can almost know just the fact that there's a body makes that we should differ. Okay. Let's go on. Now, at this stage, I'm going to do something. I want to, someone, maybe Ndesh, you can go. You can go to the parents' room. Nah? Then you invite all the mums with the babies to come and sit with us. Because even if it's a bit noisy or something, as we are continuing this morning, I want them to be part of church because they are always sitting there. You can, yeah. It's important, you know, you can see this morning the youth isn't here, okay? We miss them because they are part of our body, of our family. So I want the mums, I know they can see me in there and they can hear me in there, to come, please, and to come and sit here. And those of you who are not, you know, yet, you know, you don't know small kids and you don't see them that often, they are going to be here now. But I really want them to be part of the church, that you guys can just feel that we are a body. Okay. So let's continue to the third part, and that's the very nice thing that we can know because God is God. Okay? I'm going to wait for those mums. They must come. They have to come. I'm sure they are sitting there. It's my wife and it's Leandra is sitting there and Heidi is there. You guys must come now. The pastor is talking. Okay. Then the third part, you know, it's God's good and wise design. God knows what things are about, you know. God isn't caught off guard that it's now the year 2010 and we can have receive 20 emails a day and fax and Skype and life is fast, you know. Maybe you think back at the church in Acts and you think, yeah, but you know, they didn't have a lot to do. But also remember, they didn't have Pick and Pay and Voerman and Brock and all those. They had to labor in different ways than us. So God isn't the fact that you are a young married or maybe small kids. That's not a surprise to God and how you think, you know, you can't be part of church. Ah, there they are coming. Can we give them a hand, please? Now, where's my wife? Change the nappy. Okay, that's a valid reason. I'm sure she will be here right now. Okay, because usually there's so many ladies with babies and they always sit there, but we want them to be part of things this morning. I'm not sure, I'm not going to call on Hanley. Ah, there my wife comes. We're not going to call the kiddies church because then things might get a bit rough, or the wheelie worms because, yeah. Okay, let's continue. The third part of Paul's remedy is the most important, and it's found in verses 17 to 18. Someone might say, I heard, okay, no, sorry, I don't want to read that part. Let's read here. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Okay? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. So the third part that we are talking about this morning is to remember that God in his wisdom, in his greatness, in his goodness, he knows what every church needs. And also remember, I thought about that a few times. You know what? I want to say to you this morning, if I were to walk away, if I got totally deceived, and I just, there's another mother coming, we want you here this morning. If I were just to walk away, you know what, guys? It will maybe be bad and we will miss each other, but I believe this church will continue, okay? Because I'm not church, I'm not the boss of the church or anything like that. Many of you, God will raise up somebody new. So if you think I've got a special skill or something and the church need me, God don't need you, okay? He can just raise up someone else. But God wants you to be in the body of Christ, okay? God loves it. I believe of his father heart. He loves it when he sees his children as a church, as the universal church also working together. So we can all relax in that sense and know that God has given you a certain gift. And maybe you think it will be wonderful if you can be a worship leader and now you're just an usher for now. But then I want to encourage you also, grow in that. Become a good usher. Become the head usher. Okay? If you are helping at Kiddies Church or something, do Kiddies Church so well that people will join our church because of the wonderful Kiddies Church we have. And I know many of our ministries have so met stampens to it gegroei, but I really believe we're getting there. And I really see committed people heading, be the head of each ministry, and that's really something nice. So we can completely trust God in that. Okay, so never think that my contribution is too small. That's a lie. Your contribution is valuable. Okay? Or don't think that someone can do the job better than you and now you don't have to come, or now you don't have to help. Okay? Also, don't think that you are too busy. I remember in 2002, that's been maybe one of my less better spiritual years, if I can put it that way. I started working and I also studying. I was doing my honors degree. And I, at certain times I thought, but oh, I'm a bit busy. I actually had a girlfriend as well. And, you know, many things. I was driving around and I was in the church in Stellenbosch as a member. But I attended the small groups in the Tigerberg church because I worked there. And somehow things just didn't work out. You know, and I believe it's something of that principle of giving and receiving. You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And many times I thought, but I must actually study now, or I don't have enough time to come to church or to be part of this or to be part of that. But I was the guy that lose out, actually, because the devil somehow stole something from me that year. And I know it for a fact. Maybe I know one of you have told me similar, some of you guys have told me similar testimonies. So never think you're too busy. Maybe you don't have to be the head person of each ministry, but just do that what you believe God has called you for. It's something that you will be blessed by. Or maybe sometimes we think that we're young married, and I remember when me and Maritza were also young married, and you think, but you know, I know it's also nice in the cold winter morning to maybe just go and watch it, I don't know, whatever, to do something and not to be part of church, but God wants you as well into church. Whether you're old and single or young married or part of the youth, Warrior is a good example of a young guy being very faithfully taking part of things in church. And I believe that principle really works. You receive more when you give, okay? Or a new job or anything like that. So this morning, I'm going to skip a part, but I believe we're going to come back to that. I want to call now Francois. Will you please come to the front? I know your wife is outside. Panganai and Abigail, Paul, you and Maggie, Henning and Marissa, can you guys please come and line up here next to me? And then I want Maritza also to come to the front. And then I'm going to ask Johan, as a representative of the men's group, can you also come and line up, please? I just need to see if I'm missing someone. Is there? Maggie is outside. Okay, this is all the small group. So, Francois and his wife, Hanley, they've got, like, let's put it, the mixed bunch. Because there's people of different ages, but it's mostly married people, but everyone is welcome. If you know Francois, anyone is welcome. They are actually, he's one of our zone coaches as well, but he and Hanley, they are also small group facilitators in church. Then we've got Abigail and Panganai. Now, you have to be a medical doctor to attend their cell. How many people in your small group is doctors? I remember everybody. Last year, the first time I attended, I think almost 7 out of 10 people were in the medical field, and I really felt very humble because it was summer and I was going there with my kortbroek and they were all with suits and ties, and I thought, like, I made a mistake here. But they are very friendly people. Now, I just want you guys to see their faces. Now, my wife is representing the mothers, the mamas small group. So that's people like Yolandi and Leandra and Chriselle and Heidi outside. Any mother with young kids, you know, you're welcome. Because it's a bit difficult. Many times they're usually between 4 and 7 or 8 mums attending. So any mum, I want to invite you, if you've got kids, to come and join this small group. They talk about mother-related type of things. Okay, that's them. Then we've got Paul here and Maggie. They are the young working group. So Paul is also actually the zone coach, but Maggie is currently the self-facilitator. That's people like Michael who's walking in right now. Okay? They are all the young working people. That's where Skola and Maggie and Prisca and Johan and those guys, that's the young working people. Okay. Then we've got Johan. They are, I'm giving him as a representative on Thursday mornings, 6 o'clock, all of us as men, you know, so we're not saying ladies, you may not come, but there's places for you, okay? All the men, we come together, ask Hannes and Francois and Morna and the guys attending it. That's where we have coffee together. We really talk about a few things that I believe is more of the men's side in church, but I really believe that God is sending us always out with a blessing there. And then there's Henning and Marissa. They are also mostly, they were married, young married people, but now because we and Hannes and some people like Nadia has got babies, so their profile is looking a bit different. They've got also single ladies are also very welcome in their small group. So I'm saying this morning, just that you can see, this is the family. There's a little place, even in the small groups. And the reason why I'm asking them especially to come to the front and not just talking about it, I want all of you who's currently not in a small group, I'm not going to make you stand or put up your hand or anything like that, but if you have got the desire to be part of a family where when something goes wrong, you know there's someone, a little family that can pray for you. We used to talk about cells. But when Al-Qaeda and these guys got a bit aggressive, we rather talk about small groups. So that's the reason. But the actual meaning came from cells. You know, all the different cells make up the body, and we are the body of Christ. So I want to encourage you guys, if you and your husband or your girlfriend or maybe just you or you and your kitty, if you want to attend a small group, there's a place for each one of you in our church. So now you know what these people look like. So afterwards, I, on behalf of them, invite you to go to them and ask them at what time, at what place is your small group, and that person will give their cell phone number to you, okay? And then please go and join them. We want people to slot into small groups because I believe in that way our families really work well. Thank you, guys. There's just a small part that I want to read to you. Actually, I've got it a bit long in my notes, but maybe I'm going to let it pass till next time. But I want to read to you in Ephesians 4, and it's actually from verse 7 to 16, but I'm not going to read all of it. There's just a little part that I want you guys to see this morning. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure. Okay, and there it goes on. But what I just want to see you guys is that important part, to the building up of the body of Christ. So the things we do, the way we minister to each other, the people that's appointed in offices, it's all to build up the body of Christ, that we can become, because Jesus Christ is the head of the church and he's fully mature. Now, none of us is, okay? All of us can always grow or excel a bit or do a little bit more in terms of a relationship with Christ, okay? But everything that we do together is for the building up of the body of Christ. But as I said, I think I'm going to leave that a bit for next time, okay? So guys, what I want you to do this morning, as we are going to end off, I'm not going to end off with an altar call specifically for praying for this or that, because I believe this is something that God must do in our hearts, okay? When I got into church and I saw all the different things, I used to just go to church and come back. That was basically the first 22 years of my life. But then God, I became born again and I started to grow and be spirit-filled, and then I got excited about these things, you know. I can stand here and preach this morning and think I'm just doing my job, but I don't want to say that. I want to stand here because I've got a heart, because I love you guys, because you are my friends and my family, and God has for some reason said I must be here, okay? So I want to encourage you guys, when you go home, today, go and read those scriptures again. You can get it from me afterwards as well. And ask God, what does He want you to do in the body of Christ if you are not sure about it? Some of you know very well. I know you're doing it, you're loving it, you're excelling in it. But I just want to throw it out there, and I want to trust the Holy Spirit to do that work in your heart. Now, I'm going to do something that might be very challenging for some of you guys. But I want you, just for 2 minutes, as you are sitting here, maybe with the person that came to church with you, your husband or someone, to just pray for our body. We're just going to pray for 2 minutes. If you're not comfortable with that, you can just relax and sit, and then we're going to finish. But I want you guys to turn to the person next to you. And I'm just going to, Danielle, you the worship team guys, you can come to the front and you can slowly start playing something. But I want to encourage you guys, for whatever God lays in your heart, that you will pray for that person. And we're going to pray this morning for Shofar Windhoek, for our body, for people I believe who's maybe offended or hurt or not currently in the body. I believe there's strong people standing outside that needs to be inside, you know, and we need to pray those people in, okay? All of us at a certain stage in our lives, because none of us were born as Christians, okay? We came to Christ. Now, and these people, we need to pray them in as well. But I want you guys, the ladies at the back, all of you, just for 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, to just turn to someone, and that's what God lays on your heart. Just pray for our body this morning. And you guys, you can just play softly.